Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, folks. It's another episode of America's Hometown Horror that is brought to you yet again by HelloFresh. Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut?
Yeah.
Well, with HelloFresh, you get pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable, most of all. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table within 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts for all you health nuts out there to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Go to the link in our show notes. That would be wherever you listen to our show, America's Hometown Horror. Go down into the show notes, click the link to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit. Kat, we've used HelloFresh before, right?
Yeah, I actually really liked HelloFresh.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I use HelloFresh all the time. You know what takes longer than 30 minutes to do? If you're like me and you're just making one meal every day and you don't know
it
what
makes
you
sense
want,
for you, yeah.
You just want to go out, you want to make a meal. But you go to the grocery store, you're there for at least 30 minutes, even if it's to pick up six items, because Market Basket is fucked. There's like 8,000 people.
I love Market Basket. Yeah.
Why not just have it delivered to your doorstep, and you don't have to play by their rules and use the note cards and the recipes. Yeah, it probably tastes good if you do. But you can play your own, like, your own little game. You make your own food. You get everything you need. Make it your way.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's like McDonald's. But at home.
Right.
Make it your way. Have it your way.
I also really like when they do like the single serving, like sriracha or some sort of
They're
hot
cute.
Sauce.
They're kinda cool. Their packaging is awesome.
It's perfect because you don't want to buy an $8 bottle of that.
Yeah.
And you just need it like once in a while.
Right.
True.
It's fantastic.
Excellent. All right. Well, HelloFresh, sponsor of America's Hometown Horror, and away we go. What is up? Yo, what's up, Shredlords? Deep in the rue, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of America's Hometown Horror. My name is Mike. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of our show. And as always, as I say every time, I am not alone in this endeavor into our horror podcast world. I am joined by my fellow co-hosts, Catherine and Andrew. You two, what the fuck is up? What's going on?
I'm feeling esteemed.
I have a question. It's not for me personally, it's for a friend of mine. What does deep in the rue mean?
So, from what I've been told through the same friend, is that there is a TikToker named Stony McBlaze, who every TikTok that he does, he starts out by saying, "Sup, Shredlords, deep in the rue," meaning, "Sup, Shredlords. I'm fucking high," pretty much. And he's high in every TikTok that he does. So that's what's up.
I actually wasn't asking for a friend. I was asking for myself, and now I feel less ashamed at not knowing what that means.
No, that's okay. Fair enough.
I feel perfectly fine. I actually feel better about myself not having ever known. I feel like I'm dumber for knowing that.
That's fine. One of my good friends has TikTok and sends me these videos all the time, and I love it.
As soon as you said TikTok, I went, yeah.
Yeah.
But there are some funny TikTok
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But
I thought you meant like deep in the roux, like if you're making a roux with butter and flour.
No,
like
a not
French
like a
roux.
Like a
roux. We were talking about HelloFresh earlier, and I was like, roux, I love roux. You got, every good sauce starts with a roux.
Well,
anyway,
fair to say that Andrew is doing good. Andrew's doing good.
I'm doing great.
Firing on all cylinders as usual.
I am deep in the
usual.
Fucking who?
Catherine, what's up with you?
Not much.
How you doing?
Same, you know, same shit, different day.
What's new? What's new?
Nothing.
So,
no, not really. I mean,
okay,
that's boring.
Yeah, sorry. Like work, you know.
We didn't play Scrabble last night.
We did play Scrabble last night. That was really fun.
Talk to me about your Scrabble escapades last night.
I won two times.
Almost though.
Out of two.
You almost okay.
Doesn't matter. We don't need to bring up.
We don't need to bring up.
We don't need to get into
subjects.
the minutia of
no,
our Scrabble game.
I care because I asked.
Well, I won. Okay. Twice.
Both times.
First time.
Do you have any rebuttal for that? Anything to say? Anything you want
to
say?
Okay. To be fair.
To be fair.
Craig helped me see something on the board that gave me a lot of points. However, I still lost. But I also helped out Andrew see something that he didn't. It was a word. I gave
you
a word.
The only reason you helped me was because I had expressed my disdain throughout the match.
Yes, you were just
and how
pissed.
Upset I was at Craig for being such an idiot and just giving Kat help. And he's like, I thought she knew that. Well, clearly she didn't. And it was nothing to do with any words. I'm not besmirching her knowledge of vocabulary.
I didn't see it.
It was just basic. It's the reason why Mike doesn't play Scrabble, because he doesn't see these moves that are there. It's like chess. You're playing the board. You're not playing the
you're playing
word.
For points.
The word doesn't matter.
Not necessarily.
The points
right.
matter. Where
the
you put
matter.
It, what you do. That's why it's so much fun. And I think, Mike, when you finally realize that that's how it's played, mm-hmm. you will enjoy it more than most games, because it's a game of strategy. You can win a game and not put more than four letters out at a time. You can.
Right.
You can have the most basic vocabulary and be an absolute idiot like me and win. So.
Yeah. Andrew is a very avid
Scrabble
player.
Well, to be fair, I don't think you're an idiot. I think you're a very intelligent person.
I don't think I'm an idiot either. I know I'm an idiot. And the fact that I beat Craig, who's well-read at Scrabble, is surprising. Kat, you're also not very well-read. So beating you in Scrabble, at the bare minimum, I should beat you at Scrabble. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, since we mentioned Craig, I have to thank Craig and Seth for both appearing on our show last week. Talking about the Babadook.
Yes. The Babadook.
The Duke.
Hey, Babadook.
But anyway, we're at the point of the show now. We talk about what we've been watching. Andrew, anything good? I'll let you go first, because I know I skipped over you last week and I felt bad.
Well, you probably did. And it happens because there was like 12 people here screaming into a microphone.
Right.
So that can happen.
Yeah, it was a lot of work to make everyone sound coherent. Yeah.
I've watched a lot of stuff.
Anything of
most
note?
Most horror of note was last night after said Scrabble. I was like, I need to fall asleep to something. So I put on the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
And the opening,
even though
the opening sketch with Dan Aykroyd.
Great.
It's phenomenal.
Great.
And
you want to see something really scary?
I only made it about 20 minutes into it.
What is that streaming on, by the way?
That was on Stars. I accidentally bought Stars for the next month because I wanted to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, so I got a free subscription.
Did you watch it?
I did. Great.
We talked about it last episode.
Yeah. But I didn't cancel my subscription, so now I'm stuck with Stars.
At least for a month.
So I was like, I might as well get some use out of it. So I put it, I was like, oh, Twilight Zone. It's good. That's a good get.
Love that
movie. It's a good get.
Love that
and,
movie.
And I forgot how racist the first episode of the trilogy is. The one where the guy's like in the bar.
Do you know the story behind that segment? You know what happened?
Well, I know the way the story plays out.
Right. But do you know what actually happened behind the scenes with that?
Oh, behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about that?
We absolutely should.
Okay, let's do it.
So apparently, during the filming of that movie, that particular segment, John Landis was the director who directed an American Werewolf in London, Trading Places, Animal House, so very well-known director. Under his watch, three people were killed, including the main actor in that segment of the Twilight Zone movie during production of that movie. Do you know
that? Wait a minute. Like, actually killed.
Actually killed.
Three people during the filming.
So basically, the segment is supposed to end differently than it did, specifically with the Vietnam scene. There was a scene they filmed. It was in Cursed Films, which is something that we talked about. It's a Shudder exclusive. That's the final episode of that show, where basically John Landis was the director of this, and it makes him look terrible, because he basically had total disregard for safety on the set because he wanted the shot.
Clearly, because three people were murdered.
So there was a shot where there were all kinds of explosions going around, and it was filmed in Hollywood, and a helicopter that was on set started spinning out of control and decapitated the main actor in that segment.
That was the last thing he's ever been in?
Along with two child actors. Killed three people
That's
on the set of that movie.
Awful.
Dude, there should be a whole documentary about that. Like
there
a
is
full documentary.
A full documentary, but
like a whole 2 hours.
While I really enjoy that movie, it kind of ruined John Landis's career. And
when did that movie come out?
83, 84, maybe.
So that was after all the like main stuff he did, big stuff.
It was after
83. That was it.
It was after Animal House, after American Werewolf, and after Trading Places, I think.
Wow, that makes me want to watch that again now with that in mind. Like it's like a fucked up thing.
So they basically like they recut that first segment with the way that it ends with him in a truck going off to a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. It was basically he was supposed to be much more heroic in that role.
Wow.
Like saving kids from Vietnam, and he died on set.
So it was like a good...
You never knew that?
I never even heard of that.
Wow.
That's awesome. Good, yeah. See? Good thing. Good. Glad I brought it up.
I don't know that it's awesome.
No, but it's an awesome piece of information.
Information, sure.
It's awesome. I mean, I don't know the guy, so... Doesn't really matter, but awesome. In the fact,
it just goes to show you that sometimes people that are directors and people making movies can go too far. And I would recommend for further viewing, if you have Shudder,
watch
Cursed Films. The last episode is about Twilight Zone and about John Landis.
The helicopter crashed. How's that his fault? Who's flying that helicopter? That's that person.
They told him not to do the stunt. And he did it anyway. And he killed his lead actor and two child actors.
Oh, they told John Landis. So it was a stunt that he...
Two child actors that were working illegally after hours.
Well, obviously it was 1983.
Yeah.
But what was the stunt?
It was basically him running away from the crashing helicopter or some sort of explosion.
Oh, so he wanted to actually crash a helicopter and make it look like it in the explosion.
Something like that. And like
so the helicopter actually crashed.
So Vic Morrow, the main actor in that segment, he was... His head was cut off. He was decapitated by a helicopter.
It was probably flying really low to make it look like a crash, and then it didn't, but it...
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. So, yeah, fucked up shit. But anyway, what else?
I've also been watching a little sketch comedy on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave, and I think you should watch that show.
We watched so much of that.
I don't care what your type of comedy is. This has a little bit of it all. Just give it more than... they're like very short segments. It's like 16 minutes for each episode. Like four or five different segments in each one because it's a sketch comedy. So like Saturday Night Live.
It is short.
Except for actually better. Yep. And they actually do stuff and it's funny.
Except for actually better. Yep. I hear you.
It is actually better.
No, I think SNL is better than that.
No way.
Oh,
SNL is fucking terrible.
SNL hasn't been good in 20 years.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Not just because it's woke, because it's terrible.
Like one out of every five like... segments was good.
You were laughing the entire time.
Not the whole time.
You laughed during every segment,
that
and you
Jeopardy
didn't want to like it,
because really
then at the end you were like, this is such an Andrew show. And I was like, what does that mean, that I like funny stuff? Like, oh, thank
well,
you.
Yeah.
Is that the joke? Is that the joke? Is there two meatballs falling out of my pants because I ripped a hole in my scrotum? No, that's not the joke. That's not the joke.
So
but
was,
it's a good show.
Good,
you like it.
There were some really
but
good
this is a horror podcast. It was funny. Watch it. I don't need to get into details. It's better than
this
most things
weird.
That you watch.
This is
anyway,
weird stuff.
Kat,
there.
What have you been watching? Anything spooky?
Weird.
I don't think so. We've been busy.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
haven't
have been
had
busy.
Time to like watch much.
So I have a few things that I want to talk about. Andrew, you've been chirping at this altar for quite a long time, and
chirp.
I am so happy I finally started watching it. The Sons of Sam documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
Holy shit, is it good.
I forgot
oh
I was chirping
God.
About that, because that was like a year ago.
Came out in April
months.
Or May. Came out in April or May, so it's a few months old. And I finally got around to watching it, and I'm now about halfway through it, right about to be on the, spoiler alert if you haven't heard it yet, or watched it yet. Right about to be at the Manson stuff, which is like, oh my God, I'm so intrigued. I'm so intrigued.
This is so good.
So good. Netflix hits home runs on their true crime shit every fucking time they go
out. Yeah, they're like 50% of their documentaries. 50% of their documentaries are crap. Like, there's a like, Making a Murderer, that was great and all, but that was such a fucking agenda-driven documentary. Like, these types of documentaries, while they are all agenda-driven...
Right.
At least sticks to a lot of the facts, I guess. But I mean, it kind of doesn't. It gets a little fucking out there.
Well, you have to remember, every documentary is skewed to some point of view, right? And obviously, like they have in this documentary, Paul Giamatti is the narrator, representing
which
the
guy. Which I found was very interesting.
It was interesting. It was cool. I like it so far, but I'm very interested to see the end of it, and I think it's awesome. So
glad you like it.
In addition to that, I've been watching a lot of Netflix stuff over the last couple of nights. Finally finished season 2 of Love, Death, and Robots. That show's awesome.
Is that like the cartoon one?
It is the animated cartoon one, yes.
Animated.
Directed by David Fincher, which is a very good thing.
The whole thing? All two seasons?
I think some of it. I don't know about all of it. But I've also been watching a show on Netflix called Haunted, which is about people that have experienced ghosts and that sort of thing. It's a weird setup, but it's very well done. I like it. So I would recommend all of those shows to people.
Surprised that the name of that show is called Haunted. That seems like a box name.
I've watched it. I don't think you ever watched it with me.
It's not the one where they're like going to that haunted house, right?
No. So it's a show about people that have been actually haunted by supposedly real life stuff. But you know, that's up for debate.
Okay. Oh, I did also watch Ghost Breakers recently. No, just kidding.
Ghost Breakers?
Did you ever watch that show we were talking about? The movies that made us.
Yes.
And the one on Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I watched.
Where
the
they
second
had to
season,
like
yep.
record parts of the the movie like double. Ghostbusters and Ghost Breakers, because they didn't know if they were going to have the name Ghostbusters.
I remember that, yep.
I was like, that's wild.
That was in season 1, so I remember that. But yeah. So anyway. Hey, so as of this episode being recorded, or I should say as of this episode being published, Don't Breathe 2 will be out tomorrow, which I think we're all going to go see, right?
Yeah.
We decided on that earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean, the first movie's awesome. This movie, I haven't heard anything about it. Negative or positive.
I like which I kind of like. I like the not knowing. I'd rather walk into a movie having no knowledge about it, because I feel like, to some aspect, regardless of how you feel, you are skewed based off of what you've heard of the movie.
Well, we've seen the trailer.
No, I know, but we haven't heard any, like, discussion or, like, this movie's good, this movie's bad. Like, I feel like if you walk into a movie fresh, I'd be a lot more interested to hear, like, if they did a rating system for movies with people not knowing what other people thought about the movie. I think a lot of movies would have a better rating than they do, and a lot of movies would probably have a worse rating, because people just go, oh, well, everyone likes this movie, I gotta like it.
Right. Yeah. I liked the first one.
I'd rather not know anything and just watch it and be like, did I like this?
First one
I did.
Was awesome.
I did like it. I did.
Yeah.
It was good.
Did you like
the first one's awesome. The turkey baster scene?
Gross.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, gross. Also gross. So maybe Don't Breathe 2 might be our next episode if we go.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We'll see. I don't know. We don't know yet. We'll see. We go from week to week here, folks. So we're doing everything fluid. So we'll see what happens. But also, the biggest thing that came out kind of over the last week was the new trailer for a show called Midnight Mass, which is going to be on Netflix, and it's the new Mike Flanagan show, who did Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, also Doctor Sleep. So it's this guy we're talking about. And the trailer looks pretty cool. Doesn't really give off a lot. It's about a minute and a half long. Looks pretty cool. But that is also out, so I'd recommend if... you haven't seen that yet, I would recommend checking it out.
Have you?
I did. I did check it out.
Good?
Looks pretty cool. So,
Oh, the trailer. The show isn't out yet.
Yeah, the show's not out yet.
Never mind.
The trailer's out. The trailer's
Ignore
out.
Me.
It looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. So, with that being said, anything else anyone wants to talk about in terms of watch lists? Because I have no news before we jump into tonight's topic.
Well, I mean... We did something over the weekend with a couple of fun groups of people that we...
Yes, of course. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. Why don't you start out with that?
So, Anthony from the Spooky World documentary...
Tony, yep.
We,
Tony!
Hey, Tony!
We
hey,
met
Tony.
Up with him at America's Hometown while he was in town this weekend.
We certainly did.
And we had ourselves a day.
Hell of a time. Oh, yeah, we had a blast. And it was really great to finally meet him in person after, you know, working with him on the podcast for a number of things. And had a bunch of drinks, had a good time down in America's hometown, which I would say, if you are a listener of this show and you have not been to Plymouth yet, obviously the name of our show is America's Hometown Horror Podcast. And America's hometown is Plymouth, Massachusetts. So I would suggest you come down and visit. If you are thinking of visiting, I can give you several suggestions on places that you should go. Just like we did this past Sunday with Tony from the Spooky World documentary. We had an absolute blast. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
One is a live tour of the America's Hometown Horror Podcast Studio. Never mind, I didn't invite anybody here.
I mean, hey, if you DM us or email us and you're asking for one, I will give you a tour of America's Hometown from our perspective.
But you better bring some beer.
That's correct. Bring some beer, bring some alcohol, bring some. All right, so with no news, that means that we are on to our topic of the night. Kat, how do you feel about no news? You feeling good?
I am.
Excellent.
I feel like no news is the worst news.
Is the worst news.
I love no news.
Because without news, how do I know?
I understand.
I mean,
I know.
I didn't really see any. So basically, so
thanks for nothing, Mike.
The day that we record every episode, what I do is I go and I peruse Bloody Disgusting and also Dread Central, which are the two biggest horror sites on Earth, and I look to see if there's anything that I think that would be worth us talking about. Since the last week that we recorded. So basically, what I looked at a bunch of stuff. I didn't really see anything that was of note. The only thing that I will say, Catherine, on October 10th, we might be able to go see somewhere Scream, the original Scream, in theaters.
Cool.
Which I kind of wanted to surprise you with, but I think it would be a big thing to tell you right now.
Nice.
So we might be able to go see Scream in theaters on October 10th. Leading up to the release of the new Scream movie.
Scream 37?
No, Scream 5, or as it's called, Scream. Because that's what the new thing is to just...
rename it the same thing.
Yeah, name your movie the same thing as the original one.
Screm to Screm.
Screm to Screm. I like that, actually.
I'd like Screm to Screm.
I'd appreciate
that. I'd watch
that.
Be like, is this about food, or what is
this?
So we might be able to go see Scream in theaters in October, on October 10th.
Okay.
It's for one night only, apparently, so that was the only thing I saw. But I didn't even write it down. That's just from my memory. All right, so that means that we are on to our topic du jour. Do you guys know what that means? It's our...
Soup.
Topic of the day. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
To each of you? Okay, fair enough. So what we're going to do tonight, which is something we have not done in a while. The last time we did this, we were joined by Craig. So handsome in the face, so hot of the beard, so strong of voice. And we did a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror draft. And tonight we are going to do a fantasy draft of the final girls of horror.
My pick.
Because everybody loves Cat's when pick. We just Girls cash night. It in. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think honestly, like, these
I think these are
some
of our
like, yeah,
better
I think
ones.
So.
You guys put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
Here. Like, I just show up
it's,
and yell.
It's, so. I think honestly, like doing something like this, it's not just watching a movie and reporting on it. It's something that anybody can really do. So we're doing something a little bit different tonight. We have to do a little bit of research on a bunch of different
movies. I also
think
anybody can watch a movie and talk about it afterwards, so.
Right.
Cat. Talk to me about why this topic is important to you.
Well, I mean, I...
She's a woman. I mean, she's a woman.
Oh. Are we allowed
to say that? Besides the obvious...
I thought that was the reason.
...of having a girls' night on the podcast for once. Woohoo. No, I always liked...
I feel like we have a girls' night on the podcast quite frequently. Maybe. I don't feel like we do it... I feel like we do it quite a bit. I don't think you're...
What do you mean?
...portraying that accurately. I think we do we your topics quite
on.
Frequently. We're essentially a democracy here. We do a lot of your topics.
No, I'm just... No, I mean, like...
If anything, I should complain. My
girls,
movies get
like,
shoved to the back after...
Andrew
I
did have a movie episode that was shoved to the side.
By
yes.
you.
Okay.
So,
well, that movie sucked.
Say what you may.
That movie sucked.
But
awful.
May what you say is you're the worst.
Maybe it'll come out someday. All right, go
yes.
ahead.
So, sorry. I always liked, you know, the reference from Scream, where, what's-his-face, I forget his name... talks about the rules, and it's like, you won't make it to the final...
Jamie Kennedy, sorry,
yep. Thank you. And he has the rules. He's like, you can't have sex, you can't drink or do drugs, and you can never say you're going to be right back. because you're not going to be right.
You're not going to be right.
Yep, exactly.
And that's like, there's the, you know, that's the how you get to be the final girl. And I thought, I always thought that that was cool. So Scream's like one of my favorite movies. So,
safe to say we might know who you're going to be picking for maybe your first pick, depending on what pick you get.
Yes. Mm.
So
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I want to do something different tonight, too. So we haven't done a draft in like a year.
So if you're a listener of this show, I'm assuming you're a horror fan. But if you're listening to this for the first time, you may be asking yourself, just what is a quote-unquote final girl? And I offer you this. A final girl is a trope in horror films, particularly slasher films, that refers to the last girl or woman left alive to confront the killer, and often the one whose eyes the story is told through. The term was coined by a woman named Carol J. Clover in her 1987 essay titled Her Body, Himself, Gender in Slasher Films. Clover, in this article, suggested that in these films, the viewer began by sharing the perspective of the killer, but experienced a shift in identification to the final girl partway through the film. More often than not, the final girl is the sole survivor of the group of people and gets into the film's final confrontation, where she either kills him, kills herself, or is saved by somebody else. Clover also wrote that the quote-unquote final girl often has this privilege because of her implied moral superiority, which by that I mean refusing to have sex, do drugs, or other such behaviors, unlike her friends. The final girl trope has evolved throughout the years. Obviously, we're in 2021 now. This trope started, arguably, in the 70s. Okay, so we're now in 2021. This is about 50 years ago. They evolved from being damsels in distress, often being saved by a strong male, such as a police officer or a heroic stranger, to more modern final girls that are more likely to survive due to their own abilities. And to that, I say, bravo.
I feel like bravo. Most of them, if you really look at it, though, it's mostly due to them, like, when it actually happens in these movies. Like, I feel like they try to portray it as, like, something else, but they're really it's a strong woman
from
getting themselves through it. There's nothing helping them.
No.
So they may explain it away as like that, but it's not.
The big ones, they didn't need any help.
No.
I don't know what you guys have picked for your potential draft
but
options here.
Do we have?
Some of mine are a little bit more modern, and I think the strength of those movies that I will talk about if I'm lucky enough to pick them, that's the strength of the movie, is the fact that it's a little bit different. So, I don't know.
You will. I'm going basic.
That's all I'll say. So, with that being said, so we've done a couple drafts on this show. Last one we did, as I mentioned before, was the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror draft. Before that, we've done a movie monster draft, a movie killer draft,
mm-hmm.
and
Simpsons
I think...
Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
I mentioned that before.
Oh. Monster and killer, and then we
monster killer.
About,
I think we
like,
did something
the
80s, else.
90s cartoons.
Yeah, I mean those weren't necessarily drafts though, but this is actually a draft. So we're gonna pick something here. We're gonna pick three each. Okay, that's the rules. We're gonna pick three each. We're gonna pick a randomized order, which I will go through in 1 second. I'll tell you what the picks are, and then we'll go from there, and we'll talk about our favorite final girls in horror movies. That all sound good
sounds
to you guys.
Like a blast.
Okay.
I'm excited.
So
let's pick.
Here we go.
Who goes first?
And here comes the pick. Hold on. It's pick me. Is Mike, Andrew, then Kat.
Oh no. Alright.
Do you want me to
go ahead. That's the pick.
Alright, I'm gonna go one overall.
That's
I
okay,
mean, I feel
list.
Like at two overall, Andrew has some options. At three overall, you have some options as well. I'm going to go off the board here.
Okay.
Because I'm going to leave this open for somebody else. The draft board? Like, we're entering into fantasy football season,
okay.
So this is kind of similar
that's,
to like
well,
what we do here, right?
That's
so
kind of what
I'm
going to
go off the board. I'm
going to
go off the board.
Draft.
So it's actually not off the board. This is probably going to be somebody's 1, 2, or 3 pick. My first pick is going to be Ellen Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver. First played in Alien from 1979.
How is this off the board?
Because
this is the strongest female character in any movie Needless to say, it's a horror movie. Correct, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you mean off the board? Get out of here, you fucking lying sack of shit. Fuck you.
I can think of two other girls, two other final girls that could be picked before this.
Well,
two.
They're not going to get picked by me because you stole my pick. So now I'm going off.
Well, now I'm going off. Now I'm happy. So Ripley, portrayed by Sigourney Weaver, is arguably one of my favorite movie characters of all time. And this might be my personal favorite here because the Alien franchise is one of my favorites. I love Sigourney Weaver in the role. It's the role that made her as an actress. She's been in a bunch of other stuff since, but this is the role that made her as an actress, okay? Alien and Aliens, and the particular role of Ripley, were both very significant in challenging gender roles in horror, science fiction, and action movies because of Sigourney Weaver. Obviously, she initially appears as a warrant officer on the Nostromo in Alien. Anyone who knows me on a personal level knows that I have a special place in my heart for warrant officers.
Of course.
That's all I'll say. Smiley face. My sister's a warrant officer in the Marine Corps. I love her to death.
Spoiler alert.
What's up, Megan? And also, I mean, in addition to appearing in Alien and Aliens, she's appeared in Alien 3, Alien Resurrection. She's appeared in video games, including Aliens, Colonial Marines, Alien Isolation, books, comics, etc. And I think the most interesting thing that I read researching this episode, she was originally supposed to be a male character. But Ridley Scott, who directed the original Alien movie during early production, said, you know what? No. I want to make this a female character.
Cool.
I couldn't picture it any other way. Could you ever picture this being something else other than Ellen Ripley in these movies? I know you...
I haven't seen
them. You have seen Alien. That's the most frustrating thing. Oh, my God. I didn't even get to bring that
I'm
up.
I'm just confused. Oh, how does one not remember seeing
How is one married to me
how is
and
one
proclaimed
that scared
not see
of
Alien?
The Boogity Man? Not
I mean, maybe
remember
we watched
watching
it once.
Alien.
Maybe I've seen it once.
This is the scariest movie ever made. And she is the best character in this movie.
I remember, maybe I did, maybe once I watched it. It wasn't, I don't know. I don't do the monster movies.
I don't.
It's not a monster movie, it's a science
For time's sake, okay? So, Sigourney Weaver earned an Oscar nomination for her role in Aliens, the sequel, which is directed by James Cameron. ultimate depiction of a surrogate mother, the way that she takes care of Newt in that movie. Fighting the queen alien at the end of the movie. Fantastic.
You must bring me.
And she's just a fucking badass, like most of the other women that we'll talk about in this draft. So that's what I have to say about Ellen Ripley. Anyone else before we move on to the next pick? Andrew, I know she was going to be your first pick. Catherine, anything else? Go ahead.
Nothing to say. Just don't lie to me again. I'm going off the board with Ellen Ripley from Alien. Oh, big surprise. Clearly, that's number one. I don't besmirch
I thought that as number one. I thought the number one pick would be somebody else.
It's not going to be mine because I could go either way here.
Well, you're going.
And
you're
no one's going to take my pick in the
second round. You're going too. So, Andrew, it's up to you, buddy. Go ahead. What's your second pick in the draft?
Well, I always have to be me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Thomason from The Witch.
Ooh,
wow! I had that way down on my list. Is it? An alternate pick.
Alternate pick.
Okay.
But I want it because...
Was Ripley going to be your first pick if
Ripley
not Thomason?
Was my first pick.
Okay.
But Thomason stuck living with her shitty family.
Yeah.
On this shitty farm after getting kicked out of some shitty Puritan town, which I wouldn't want to be alive during the 16, 17, whatever hundreds it was.
No.
Right.
Sounds
absolutely terrible. Not. Go live in the woods. She's essentially a fucking slave for her own family. Kids get her brothers and sisters get in trouble. Her fault.
Right.
She gets all the blame. And what does she do? She becomes the fucking witch of the woods, and she gets her vengeance.
I love that.
On fucking everybody.
I know we talked about this when we did the witch episode, but yeah. Oh man,
that's to me a female in a horror movie. She had the last fucking laugh.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, now different. It's more revenge driven. It's not. Driven out of, it is driven out of the same need to survive. Like in slasher movies, like in order for this final girl to get to the end, it's out of a need to survive. And for Thomason, it's no different.
Right.
She had a need to survive. How she went about it was a little bit different. Casting upon those dark demons. Fucking do what you gotta do, girl. And she's so good. And she does an it's just an awesome role that she plays. great actress played it, too. I can't remember her
name. I was going to say,
name.
Could it have anything to do with the fact that you're in love with Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah,
I mean, she's awesome. And she's great in The Queen's Gambit. But that role is like, she kills it. And
okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To me, that's... She did it.
What do you think? Do you have any thoughts on Thomas?
No, I know awesome. I liked the whole thing with Black Phillip and with her character and how she evolved and everything.
I think that's the ultimate... I mean, again, from a man's perspective, the ultimate empowerment of a woman to be able to make your own choices and do whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Which is exactly... what Thomason does at the end of The Witch. So, all right. So, Ellen Ripley 1, Thomason 2, Catherine, where are you going 3?
Sydney from Scream.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Was it even a question?
There is still an absolute stud at the top of the board right now. Okay, talk to me about Sydney Prescott from Scream, Catherine.
Well, I mean, she's the protagonist of the whole movie. She goes on for how many?
And you should also mention that these are probably your favorite horror series of all time, right?
It's one of my favorite. I mean, I love Scream. I've watched it a billion times. I can quote every single line in that movie, from that movie and the second one and the third one. Not as much H2O. What is it? The other, not H2O. They have like another.
That's a different franchise.
Oh, that's how.
So I have this written down.
Halloween.
Campbell, who plays Sydney Prescott, she's in Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, and the upcoming Scream 2022 movie. So pretty much every Scream movie she's in.
Yeah. Yes, and she's still hanging around.
Yep.
So, I mean, she's the ultimate girl, the final girl. But she escapes death multiple times from a lot of people that don't like her.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I mean, I grew up watching that movie in the 90s. It's awesome. I love it. It's great. And she's the best.
So from what I'll say, if you don't have anything else that you want to say for right now.
Go ahead.
Ultimate example of somebody that's easy to root for, right? She's dealing with the loss of her mother, overcoming the aftermath of losing her mother. You know, in a sense that is not necessarily the most wholesome way, dare we say?
Right. It's a big scandal.
Dealing with reporters, scandals, all that shit, and dealing with, I would say, quote unquote, untrustworthy boyfriends.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Oh
yeah. It's hard to imagine anybody else playing Sydney Prescott other than Neve Campbell.
Right.
And when this movie came out, I was a big fan of Neve Campbell as a teenage boy.
Of course.
Beautiful. Beautiful woman.
She's aged well, I feel like.
She's aged like a fine wine. And if I can say, we talked about this on the Scream episode that we did. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to it. Drew Barrymore was initially cast as Sydney Prescott.
Oh, I feel like I remember that. Yeah.
But
that
scheduling conflicts led to her taking a smaller.
A much smaller.
Arguably as much of an iconic role where she's killed in the opening first scene, which I feel like that's one of the most iconic scenes of a horror movie in the last... When did that movie come out? 96? What is it now?
2021?
That's like the last 30, 40 years. I think like that has been parodied numerous times, and I think Sydney Prescott is a very worthy first-round pick.
Thank you.
So with that being said, we are going snake style here. So that means the cat.
Oh my god,
you have a second
again?
Pick. Go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't ready. I'm gonna go with Jessica Biel from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow. I mean, I love.
I mean,
as a man, I love Jessica Biel too.
That movie's actually awesome too.
But I mean,
I would have went. You didn't want to go with the original?
No. I mean, we just talked about the original.
You went more with the actress.
Personally,
you didn't go with the character. You went with the actress.
Personally, I like the newer one because I grew up on that one versus the original.
Oh, the original's so grainy. And so good. I don't know how you can not like the original.
I do. I'm not saying that I don't like the original, but I am more familiar.
Let's try and not talk about Jessica Biel's chest the entire time. I was actually saying that
the only reason she likes it is because of Jessica Biel's.
I mean, she's a beautiful woman. So
I like her as an actress. She's awesome. I thought she did a bang up job, like the entire way through. Like she goes, you know, she plays her character really well, and I thought she made a good final girl.
Okay. I actually think that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from, I think it was 2003?
Yeah, that's the one with her.
About?
Yeah, that one. That's what I'm talking about. Right. I was just trying to remember what year it came out.
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the better horror remakes of all time. That's a great remake.
It's up there with The Hills Have Eyes and Evil Dead remake.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Same echelon.
Yes, exactly.
And, I mean, she's fantastic in it. I mean, she's obviously a very pretty woman, but the plot of the movie is great. This movie takes the stance of...
Not in the Julia Roberts type of way, though.
No.
Like
no.
In the actual pretty woman.
This movie shows you more... So I feel like...
That's a joke.
This is the this is the ultimate example of...
Laugh after.
Versus the first movie. So the first movie describes to you and gives you examples of like what you think you want to see. This movie shows you everything. It's much more graphic, but she's very good in it. She's the final girl in it, so I think that's a nice pick. Andrew, anything else to comment on about Jessica Biel besides her heaving bosom?
She seems like a really nice person.
She seems like she has a great personality.
Love I'm to sure take her out for I'm sure, cotton I'm, candy and I'm around sure a putt putt.
I'm sure she's super nice, and that's why she's married to Justin Timberlake, the hottest man on earth. Yeah.
I disagree. I think you should have went with the original.
Yeah. Well,
pick.
To me,
you still can.
I picked. I go original over bosoms. Sorry.
All right,
it's me.
Well, fair enough. So, Andrew, in snake draft style,
this is now my turn.
Back to you.
Who's going? Way off the board.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Not even on your radar. I know it's not even on anybody's radar. I fucking hated this movie so much. I think we all hated this movie. But if we're talking...
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know who you're going to pick.
If we're talking best final female...
Oh, my God. Danny, are you going there?
Midsommar.
Oh, my God.
It's probably up there, right?
Wow.
That's but it's right there, right?
Yeah. Andrew, great
it
pick.
Is.
Great
yeah,
pick.
She
talk
awesome.
About fucking king of the fucking castle. Your boyfriend who was a dickhead.
Right.
Burned
alive.
The worst.
And you're just fucking high as a kite.
Yeah.
Being carried around as the flower girl. Fucking.
Right?
You finish
of
it. Like,
festival.
I don't have much to say about this because I fucking hated this movie.
Right.
But
In the true
nature of this, bring it down a notch. What?
I was going to say, no. I was going to say, talk about going from the bottom of the totem pole.
Oh, talk about that, like, just your
top.
Boyfriend cheats you like a bag of shit the whole time. He's a fucking asshole.
Oh, he was
nobody
awful.
Wants to date that guy.
No.
And then you finally just slowly but steady, you become empowered. This cult empowers you. And that's what cults do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not, it's right for her.
Right.
It's wrong for him.
Right.
Well, he's a piece of shit, though, as you said. So.
Either way, he deserved what he got.
He deserved what he got.
He deserved that. And she, while she may not have known what was going on, because she was fucked up, she knew what was going on.
Right.
And she loved every second of it. And she should have. I'm out there, Jerry, and I love
it. She's loving every minute of it. So
loving every minute of it.
So I didn't even have this on my list, Andrew, and I'm so glad you brought it up because she is a perfect example of that. I feel like, you know, like
100%.
total example, and I feel like, you know what, like, without being like too woke, she is the perfect example of female empowerment in a horror movie.
Oh, absolutely.
That is now the second
right?
time that you've said that about my picks. I feel like I am the most
empowered
female in
here. I mean, and I say that because like we don't usually talk like political stuff on this show, but I feel like when we're talking about this topic, I feel like it has to come up, right? So like I think the best part of Midsommar was arguably the first 10 minutes. When you see what happens to her family and what she has to overcome to get to where she is.
Right.
And I think that that is a running theme in probably a lot of the women that we're going to talk about in this episode, that they have to overcome a lot. And arguably, nobody has had to overcome more than her in that movie.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Well.
What a horrible situation.
What an awful situation.
Wow.
What an awesome.
Good pick, Andrew.
No, but she is. I hate the movie, but she's fucking fits the fucking bill.
She does. Okay. Anything else?
That is all, because I don't even like that movie.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this pick is falling to me at the first pick of the second round, last pick of the second round. Oh, my God. Because I am going to pick Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. Originally in Halloween from 1978.
Guess who's not going off the board?
Mike.
I'm not going off the board. I'm going off my board. I can't believe it. I have a couple picks that might go off the board, but oh my God. I mean, Jesus, to get Ripley at one and then Laurie Strode at two.
Yeah.
My God, she's been kicking ass since 1978. She's appeared in all of these Halloween films, okay? Not all of them.
Oh, wait, Season of
Halloween.
Right.
Halloween 2. Halloween H2O 20 years later, which is the worst titled movie of all time.
That was, I'm excited.
Halloween Resurrection. Halloween 2018, which already came out. And then the ones that are coming out, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. She's in all of those movies.
Yeah.
And the last three movies, Halloween 18, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends, she's a grandmother for Christ's sake, and she's still kicking ass. Which is just so awesome. And I think, like, you know, it just... the way that she's portrayed in the first movie is very, like, you know, wide-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, very much naive, a young girl. Which is funny because she wasn't the original choice. We talked about this during the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
She wasn't the original choice for Laurie Strode. And she was initially a stunt casting because she's the daughter of Janet Leigh, who played the female protagonist in Psycho.
Right.
So she was a stunt casting. And now she's gone on, Jamie Lee Curtis has gone on to become one of the most iconic female scream queens, if not the most, of all time, which is incredible. It's just insane to me that, you know, that she's still there when I picked her. I can't believe
nobody
else picked
her. We left a few on purpose because... Only you can talk about it with such fervor.
Right.
It is meant for you to pick this person.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to ruin it
and
pick that. All right. Jesus.
Nice fervor.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, obviously, like, her role, she obviously, like, in the first couple of movies, especially Halloween 1 and in Halloween 2018, she kind of takes on, like, the surrogate mother role. She's the babysitter. It's a world without adults. The only adult you see in Halloween, aside from Dr. Loomis, is the police chief, who's Annie's dad. And they're not involved in any of the story. So it's essentially Jamie Lee Curtis running the show for all the people that she's babysitting. She is essentially the virgin one, right? So if you had to stereotype it, she's not drinking, not doing drugs. All of her friends are, and she's the last one to survive. And she's still fighting Michael Myers to this day. And I think Laurie Strode, I mean, there's a reason that Jamie Lee Curtis is as iconic as she is today. And it's because of her initial role in Halloween.
Yeah.
And the way she continues to act today in the new Halloween movies. So I am very happy to get fucking...
And guess what? You get to go
Jamie
again
Lee
now.
Curtis as Laurie Strode in Halloween. So I'm getting another one. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, so in true snake draft form, my third pick is coming right now. It's from a 2019 movie called Ready or Not.
Ooh, good pick, good pick.
And my choice is Grace Ledomas, who is played by Samara Weaving.
Who kind of looks like Margot Robbie.
Actually, she does.
She actually, I know who you're talking about.
She does look just like her.
Right.
So if you haven't seen Ready or Not, Ready or Not is a very good movie that came out in 2019. I actually had it was one of my like four or five probably best movies from that year. But that movie follows a character called Grace, who's played by Samara Weaving, who is a newlywed, hunted by her spouse's family as part of a wedding night ritual. So that's the description. Andrew, have you seen this movie?
I haven't, actually.
Okay, no. Kat, I know you watch it with me.
Yes.
Right? So I'll stay spoiler-free for you here, Andrew, because it's a movie that you need to watch. It's a good movie. She might be my favorite of this group because she is so much of an underdog the entire time. You can't help but root for her character the whole movie, and it's a star-making turn for Samara Weaving. Her story is so satisfying because, to go back to what I mentioned earlier about many final girls having often come from implied moral superiority, right?
Right.
This girl comes from a rough background and is marrying into a family of scumbag elites, douchebags, you know, rich assholes. She grew up poor. She's running around at the end of the movie in her tattered wedding dress, trying to defend herself. And there's an iconic final shot of her sitting on the front steps of a burning mansion, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie makes her a star.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie. I love it.
Awesome movie, great ending, which I won't spoil because you haven't seen it. You need to watch it. She is a fantastic final girl.
Yeah, she really is. That's a good
point. You know, and like, you know, like when you look at like the definitions of like the final girl, right? It's like, you know, XYZ. She is kind of the polar opposite of that in most senses. And I think that makes me root for her even more. So I'm going to say Samara Weaving in Ready or Not is my third pick, which means that we are going back snake style to Andrew.
Huh.
What you got, brother?
I'm going to go with Adelaide from Us.
Nice.
Played by Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay. Nice. All right. I thought that was going to be your pick. Yep.
Just seems right. Like, you want to talk about starting from the bottom?
Yeah.
Like,
started from the bottom now, yeah.
Was stolen from her family as a child.
Yep.
Sent down to this underground world where.
Spoiler alert.
She could.
I mean, we didn't do Us yet, have we?
We haven't done Us, no. Who or Ready or Not. Or most of these movies, so it's a fine.
Yeah, yeah. So spoiler. But yeah, I mean, she's a strong woman that takes herself from the worst possible situation and becomes successful, strong, and uses all of that to defeat anything that comes in her way. It's like an awesome movie. It's probably one of my top like horror movies in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So that kind of had a little bit of influence on it, but I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because I
That's fair.
Spoil it otherwise. No? You don't like that pick?
No, I like that pick.
As I mentioned in a prior episode, she is like... Lupita Nyong'o's performance as that character is probably one of the best horror performances of the last 10 years.
Oh,
I don't even think it's close.
Phenomenal.
The fact that she didn't get nominated for an Academy Award is criminal. She was great.
That's horseshit.
That movie's fantastic. So I'm with you. She was great. And I think the arc of her story is very good. I think it's very depressing, but in the same sense, very good. And, it's kind of insane that we see a sequel to this movie.
Yeah, I'd
love to see that. I don't know what you would do, but it'd be good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Kat, to you for two picks in a row.
So,
because we're going to go four here. We're going to go four. We were initially going to do three. We're going to do four. So, Kat, to you for two.
My next is Sarah from The Descent.
Oh, you fucker! God damn it!
I might even pick two of yours. I might even pick the next one that you want to do after that.
Okay, go ahead.
She's an awesome final girl because she, again, has a terrible story where, you know, she was in a car accident, her husband died, and her girlfriends are taking her out for a weekend, and she's this kind of, like, broken person that is, like, convinced into doing all this stuff with these other friends, finds out that, like, her friend had, like, that she's on, like, we already talked about The Descent.
We did The Descent in an episode, yeah.
Right. So she finds out, obviously, one of the girls that she's with, like, was with her husband, mm-hmm. and, like, just, like, evolves into this, like, angry, she was, like, this timid kind of person, and then all of a sudden evolves into this, like, angry, like, crazy person.
Badass
who's, like, killing these monsters underground. Like, there's that shot with her getting out of, like, the blood that she just, like, became this empowered individual who, like, was not anything like that person when she first started. And I think she's an awesome character. Like, an awesome final girl, and her evolution through that movie is great. And she's a badass.
So she was going to be my next pick. And, I mean, Jesus, talk about overcoming trauma. Yeah. This girl. Andrew, I know you hate this girl.
Another one?
But hey, fuck you. Thoughts?
I'm offering thoughts on Sarah from The Descent.
Oh, I think
I know you hate this girl, but hey, fuck you. Loses her child, loses her husband, her no good goddamn cheating husband, right? Goes on to be the biggest badass of the entire movie, The Descent, just for reference. Absolutely kills the shit out of all the cave-dwelling humanoids, the crawlers, which is what their names are.
Yep.
And leaving her cheating, disloyal bitch of a friend to die. Because fuck Juno.
Right.
I know you're on Juno's side, Andrew. Fuck Juno.
Probably
and,
because I thought Juno was
I will agree with my wife here. The shot of her slowly coming out of the
bloody water
when her head slowly comes out, iconic.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're right.
Anything else? Anything else you want to say? No?
No, you guys said enough.
All right, Kat.
Another pick. Ready?
Yep.
Net picks.
Dana from Cabin in the Woods.
You just went straight off that list, huh?
Yeah, I did. I picked my list.
Just messing with you. No, I mean the list.
Oh, and this was already picked. Because she, like, you know, the whole story with... We did Cabin in the Woods, too.
We did. Long time ago.
I loved that they played the same kind of rules and stuff that... Mm-hmm. In a sense, like, that they mentioned, Jamie Kennedy mentions in Scream, where you have, like, the virgin, the jock, I forget all the, now I'm gonna sound like an idiot, but they have all the different categories of people, so, like...
Virgin, jock, slut, virgin. What else? Yeah, go ahead.
So, she's, obviously sent from the beginning of the movie, she's meant to be the final girl.
Yeah.
Even though technically she kind of dies, but when she dies, and Sigourney Weaver is also in that.
Yes, she is. She's also not a virgin.
Right.
But is the most virgin-esque of all the characters. Right.
Right. Yeah. So there's that too. Like, I mean, but wasn't Sigourney Weaver at one point said, like, we work with the best that we can get? Like,
right. 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 That's why Cabin in the Woods is so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her character is just, like, kind of, it's in the same sense. She evolves through the entire movie, and she turns out to be this, like, badass person who's just, like, she's in survival mode at the end.
Oh, two good picks. Oh, my God.
So she's my honorable mention.
Two good picks. No, fourth pick. Yeah, fourth pick.
Oh, and
yeah,
then we have another one after that?
Yeah, because Andrew has one more, and I have one more, and then we have honorable mentions after that. So, yeah, that's your final pick.
That's my final pick. Yes,
yep.
Correct.
All right.
Dana.
Andrew, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Stephanie from The Stepfather, 1987. Ever seen The Stepfather? I told you to watch.
Yes, I have.
It was good, weird movies. Guys is clearly like a Ted Bundy type character.
So, Michael Keaton?
No, he's actually remember in the first season of Castle Rock, the warden?
Yes.
That guy.
Okay. Okay.
He's the stepfather. So he basically kills his own family, changes his identity, moves on, finds a widow, marries her, becomes the stepfather, and then he just continues this trend of just murdering people.
Sure.
Basically, but... So he becomes the stepfather of this girl named Stephanie, and she figures out who he really is, bucks him, ends up killing him in the end. Maybe not actually killing him, because there's more than one stepfather, so he survives, but she's just a badass. Like, she doesn't just let him just do what he wants like the other ones did, and they all died. Like, she actually bucks him and figures out who he is, doesn't trust him, realizes he's full of shit, and then almost kills him in the end.
Nice.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be a stepfather 2, so if there wasn't going to be a stepfather 2, maybe he would have died, but I don't know. She's pretty good. I like that movie. Underrated movie. And I said, fuck it. I don't know what else I'm going to go with. So.
Okay.
Great.
So that's your fourth and final pick?
My fourth and final pick.
Okay. So, this is truly off the board.
I hope so.
So, I am going to go with... Oh, I'm between two people right now. This is going to be so tough. I'm going to roll with Heather Donahue from the Blair Witch Project.
Ooh.
From 1999.
I like it.
But doesn't it suggest that she dies? I mean, she's technically a final girl.
She's the final girl. Right. She's the last one that dies because she's the last one screaming in the house. But I feel like in the Blair Witch Project, she's kind of presented in the beginning of the movie, which is a movie that we've yet to cover, which we should cover, by the way. I'm telling you that right now. We should do it.
I'll have to actually watch the entire movie.
What? You never seen the Blair Witch Project?
Not the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh,
I'm sure it's great. I should watch it.
Yeah.
So she is presented in the beginning of the movie as this kind of like, you know, stuck up, like uppity bitch,
right,
almost kind of a little bit. And at the end of the movie, she is the main character. And there's obviously the most iconic scene. The most iconic scene in found footage horror of all time, where she is essentially looking at the camera, crying, and telling everybody that she's sorry for everything, and blah, blah, blah. She makes that movie. Without her, that movie goes nowhere.
Right.
The other two characters in the movie.
Obviously,
something happens to them, Andrew.
I don't need to know.
You've never seen the Blair Witch
the whole
Project.
Thing. I know the fucking story, so okay. You can spoil this
right.
movie that
but
came out in 1997.
The last shot of the movie, she's walking into something that she's not supposed to be walking into.
It's like a witch's fucking den.
She sees something. But she is an iconic character, and I think that she is a good final girl.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't survive. She's the last girl standing. Everybody else
Well, that's
is,
what it means. Final
yeah.
girl, final
yeah.
girl.
Last
right.
girl standing.
Final girl.
So I'm going Heather Donahue here.
Good for Heather.
All right.
She made it to a list, finally. I'm happy for her.
All right, so I think that wraps it up for the draft.
That's a wrap.
Does everybody remember their teams?
Oh, I know that I have
yes.
the number one team.
All right, Andrew, what's your team?
Thomason.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, Danny Midsommar. Number three,
wow.
Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Christine, or whatever the fuck her name is, from The Stepfather. It's a
mm-hmm.
good movie. I liked it. Solid. Stephanie? I think it was Stephanie. It wasn't Christine.
Okay.
With an S. She was good, too, though.
So, for my team, I had Ellen Ripley, one overall from the Alien franchise. Then I also had, at number two, Laurie Strode from the Halloween franchise. And then, in addition to that, I also had Grace Ledomas from Ready or Not, the 2019 movie. And then I had Heather Donahue from the Blair Witch Project. Catherine, who did you have?
I had Sydney from Scream.
Okay.
Jessica Biel from Texas Chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah from The Descent.
Okay.
And Dana from Cabin in the Woods.
You know what I think
those
funny,
last two rounds, great picks for
I
you.
Don't
like
mean
absolute
to.
Steals. Steals. So I think it's time for honorable mentions here. I have a few before you guys go on with yours, if you had any. Do you have any?
Honorable mentions?
Yeah.
I got two.
So I had this is one I actually almost picked my last pick. Anna Faris in Scary Movies 1 through 3. I thought
oh,
she was
nice.
Great.
Good pick.
Great. Tree Glebman in Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You.
Yep.
Great
sorry,
character.
What the fuck is her name?
Tree Glebman.
So like T R E E?
Tree.
Glebman.
Glebman. Yeah.
Oh, awful name.
Then I also had, I also had Dana from the Cabin in the Woods.
Yep.
I have Jamie from It Follows as one.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Really good one. Wow.
And my final one, which I thought nobody would bring up, was Thomasin from The Witch, which, of course, Andrew, because he loves Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep.
That's what I had. Anybody else have anything? Obviously, there's the girls from Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Hellraiser.
You got Jennifer Aniston from Leprechaun.
Yep. Yeah.
You got Christy Cotton from Hellraiser, who would have been one of my picks.
Yep.
You also have, I was going to say it's not a horror movie, needless to say, but it's Wait Until Dark with Audrey Hepburn. She plays a blind girl. Burglars going into her apartment.
I was today years old when I learned how much you loved Audrey Hepburn. I did not know that.
Audrey, if you're out there, why don't we have a conversation?
Oh my god.
Just can we probably talk dead.
About, most likely. So I think like well dead.
Sydney is technically like a final girl, but Gail Weathers also lives.
Gail Weathers is also a very nice choice. So I saw her on a couple of lists that I was looking at when I was researching this episode, and I think she would have been equally a good choice.
Right, yeah, because she's like, in the next one, she's like, I got stabbed. Like, she lives.
She also evolves as a character from Scream 1 through the Scream series, and I think, like, Courtney Cox does a good job portraying her.
Oh, yeah,
and I
she does awesome.
Yeah,
she
great character, great character.
Two Scream picks, well, honorable mention doesn't really
count. Also, by the way, since we talked about Fear Street a couple of episodes ago, just so you know, on the Wikipedia page for Final Girls... The girls from the three Fear Street movies were all mentioned as final girls.
Yeah, that's good too.
From the first one, terrible. Probably the worst final girl in any movie. Talk about getting everybody fucking murdered for your own bullshit. She should have died and everyone else should have just lived their own lives.
So you haven't seen all three of them, but I would say the redheaded girl at the end of the third one, she's a very good one. No,
the second one.
Yeah, she's in the second one, but the adult version of her in the third one.
In the third one, yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about,
Worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Andrew, absolutely.
Good? Oh, absolutely.
Actually good? You're not pulling my leg.
I liked it, too.
You're not pulling old Andy's leg here.
They're all good. They're all good.
I hope so. For your sake.
Give it a watch.
Do something.
You too. Any final thoughts? Anything on the final girl situation in horror movies? Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
I think we've drafted well.
Real quick.
I thought we drafted well.
It's nice when you win. I'm so glad that I won.
Oh my god, Andrew.
I can't believe that
you
I won.
You clearly did not
win. I didn't realize that I was going to win. But when you really look at it.
Is this your speech?
I did win. I thank everyone for winning.
You're thanking the Academy for this?
I am.
You did not win at all.
100%.
I won.
Take it to the streets. Whatever that means.
I'm just going to assume that I didn't win because I'm the girl in here. But I am technically the final girl, right?
You won more than Andrew did.
Andrew, get out of here. Mine is so much better than yours. Talk about empowered women. Mine's full of them.
I think they're all empowered. They're all empowered in different ways.
That's correct.
So I think we all win, right?
Nah. Women. Yeah. You know who wins? Women. Women won the night. The night was won by women. We're all very impressed.
Well, if anyone is qualified to say whether or not we won the evening, it's Kat. So what do you think?
Oh, I think this was awesome. This was great. I loved all the picks. It was all very different.
It was.
Andrew had Andrew picks. Mike had classic Mike picks. I had my slasher Cat 90s picks. Cats picks.
You definitely had Cat picks. Like, absolutely.
I mean, we were all pretty basic.
Is she not going to pick Scream?
I didn't pick that with any pick because I wanted to leave it for her. So
right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So anyway, if you're interested in following more of what we have to say on social media, here's where you can find us on the following social media platforms, including First and foremost, on our website, ahhpod.com. You can also search for us on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for America's Hometown Horror. You'll find us. You can also find us on Twitter, at Hometown Horror, and on Instagram, at Hometown Horror Pod. And if you're so inclined, you can drop us a line at hometownhorrorpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find our show pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, but more specifically on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. My name is Mike. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of America's Hometown Horror. We've appreciated your support. Tune in next week for another episode. Say goodbye to your listeners, folks. Bye.
Adios, muchacho.
A vote for Andrew is a vote for America.
Oh, my gosh.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice. Hey everyone, it's Mike from America's Hometown Horror, and just wanted to say thank you again for listening to another episode of our show, because of course, we would be nothing without you listeners. If you are interested in more local Plymouth podcasts, I would highly recommend you check out some shows by our cohorts on the Inebriart Podcast Network. That's right, the Inebriart Podcast Network, folks. In addition to America's Hometown Horror, you can find the Inebriart Podcast, Bar Talk, Theme Park Legends, Retro Redoctopus, and Old Colony Cast. Head on over and give them a listen.